Hey, sexuals, I'm Malls. Welcome to a very special 48th episode of Please Advise, where we have all Please Advise staff members on deck today, minus Jackson. He's recording a podcast of his own in his closet at home. Dead serious. That's what Christina Lopez told me.
No, I didn't say in his closet. I said, like, people, when they record at home, like professional audio people, they do it in their closet.
They're back into the closet.
They do it in their closets because the clothes absorb the sound, or so that it doesn't bounce off. Anyway.
Because the only thing sadder than podcasting from home is doing it in a closet alone. I get it. Anyway, since we have all of you guys here today, I really want to get to know the Please Advise gang. I heard that there's still some confusion about the difference between Christina Lopez and Chrissy the Friend Turn.
There is. Okay. It's a constant ask on social media.
Yeah.
People are really confused.
Let's clear it up. Christina Lopez, topless Puerto Rican mommy, holds us down, nurses us all, keeps us safe, is our
friend. Threatened someone with a bottle once.
Threatened someone with a broken bottle.
Listen, that was a long time ago. That was another life. And also
has less vocal fry than me, probably.
A little bit of a Brooklyn accent sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Christina gets trill, she gets Brooklyn.
Oh, no. Then I get, like, super Puerto Rican. I sound like one of the ladies who work at the kitchen in Orange is the New Black.
You do. Bar. You actually do. And actually, I think of you sometimes when they're talking on Orange is the New Black. I'm like, that's Christina.
Well, I get people tell me I look like Daya all the time, which is,
you know what?
Sort that's of not offensive.
Actually,
she's beautiful. You got similar mannerisms too. And yeah, that's a compliment. She's really beautiful.
She's beautiful. She got that hot guard too. Out of all the girls in the prison, he fucked her. There's a lot of young poon up in that Danbury Correctional Facility. What
Ruby
is it, Litchfield?
Up in there.
So yeah, that's who I am, and I played the trumpet. That was me.
Chrissy, you're a mess. Chrissy, the friend turn, is our white little girl from New Jersey. She's likes, you know, bacon soda, and
you're never gonna let that go.
Nope. And what do? You write?
I write for the internet. Mal's got me that job. And she's like, what do you do?
Oh.
Like, yeah, that's it, though.
No, I didn't. Pretty much. Your current job, I didn't get you.
Oh, not this
you.
One. No. But, I mean, you're like, you laid the
I'm your fairy godmother.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just say it.
So, Mal's is my fairy godmother.
What am I to you, then?
My stepmom.
I plucked her from obscurity. You came on. You joined me when I already had given her the stamp
Christina
of approval.
Gives me instructions on how to take care of myself. Sometimes, like, she'll be like, I'll say I'm sick, and she's like, okay, what you're gonna need to do is, like, get apple cider vinegar, and, like, instructs me on, like, what she I said I was having trouble sleeping, that I was taking Advil PM every night, and she was like, girl, you can just get some, like, Z-Quil.
Yeah,
like, you don't need to get
also, Nature made sleep yeah. is a vitamin over the counter.
Aren't
it's
they
really
chewable?
Good. They're not chewable. They're gel caps. Okay. And my old psychiatrist, who's the one who gives you pills?
Psychiatrist.
I never can remember that. I always confuse.
So psychiatrist, them. A therapist. You can also have a counselor.
Well, anyway, he told me that he got some woman who was like a severe Xanax addict off Xanax by giving her Nature made sleep. So you can definitely quit Advil PM.
Or just get your medical marijuana card.
So I'm the pill-popping white girl of this podcast.
And I'm the topless Puerto
Rican
woman.
Who went to Coachella and stayed sober and still lost her cell phone.
For a cool, like, 2 hours, and it ruined my life.
We also have the HBNIC here. B, she's a dog walker.
What
Someone
up?
Carved bitch into her trunk once. She's a real sweet girl. What else do we need to know about you?
I love pets. I love peace. And I have full of road rage.
You love peace? Did you say?
That is like, what was that?
That was the strangest Real Housewives opener I've ever heard. I love pets. Oh, I love peace.
Thank you. I found my Real Housewives opening
line. Love and
line.
Light, bitches.
Don't cut me off on the freeway or I will cut you.
That's amazing. Wow. That's really, really great. So we're going to play a family game of table topics.
Woo!
And then we're going to play a family game of Do You Fear That?
I love family game night.
And then we're going to play Please Advise. Ready? All right. What stereotypes of your minority group do you fit? Chrissy, is that your fucking phone?
That's your phone.
Oh, oh sorry.
What stereotypes of my minority? So, I don't have. Oh, well, women. I guess.
Well, no, aren't you? Maybe. You're Italian.
Oh, I'm. Yeah, but I actually
you're
fit.
You're a Jersey girl.
I am a Jersey girl. That's a minority in the United States. We're marginalized. Sure.
Rightfully so.
I'm loud. I have big hair. Those are New Jersey and Italian things. But I can't cook, and I'm not like super close with my family members. Those are Italian stereotypes I don't fit. Let's have an actual minority speak.
I guess I'm loud. I have a fiery temper occasionally.
You're a feisty Puerto Rican mommy.
I am. my feistiness is really coming off right now. No, but I overcompensate for a lot of stereotypes. I've talked about this on the podcast a lot before. I show up on time, like, all the time just because, like, you know, Hispanic people are notorious for showing up late to everything. And even people in my own family are really bad about it. So I'm always punctual.
Out of my friends, I'm the fiery Latina. I have a short temper.
What are you specifically?
I'm half Hispanic, half Armenian, which is very
love. Yeah,
what's the Hispanic part?
The Hispanic part is Mexico. My mom, that's out of my family, and yeah, and my friends, I get a little short.
That's
not with
combo.
Them, but like, in defense of them. You know what I mean?
I feel like an Armenian Mexican couple like would have met on Tinder. Do you know what I mean? Where did they meet?
Good question. I don't know him, my dad. So my biological sperm donor.
I don't
know. So I don't know anything about that culture, nothing. So I'm just
that's
me, boo.
Like me with my Native Americanness. I'm out of touch with it because yeah, it's my dad's side. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But I am sensitive about Native American things sometimes. I am. What's the ugliest part of getting old, you guys?
Gravity, I think.
Gravity's
particularly if you
brutal.
Have larger breasts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even if you have small ones. I got some small ones and I'm like, oh, these are a little bit in a different place.
Yeah.
A little bit different.
They go to the sides a little bit.
I don't think they can say what's ugly about aging yet. Because I don't know.
Shut up, Chrissy. Tell people how old you are.
I'm 24.
Yeah, shut up. Go to bed.
Go to bed.
Go to
bed. Go to bed.
Go to bed, Chrissy.
That's actually like what you guys have said to me most frequently in my life. I feel like it's like, go home. The ugliest part of getting old is not knowing about it. I don't know. Move on. Next.
Okay. B, anything?
Just all the ailments and all the medications you're going to have to take. I think it's going to be a bummer.
True. Oh, true.
How old are you?
25.
Okay. Who do you dislike without any good reason?
I used to dislike Oprah really heavily when I was younger for no reason.
Racist?
Probably. Well, my mom like played my mom played like Oprah stuff in the house constantly and was always like suggesting that I do Oprah meditations and things, and I was like a feisty tween and teen and I was just like mad about it and I was like, fuck Oprah. But now I respect Oprah and look up to her, so yeah.
I don't really have an answer to that, actually, so I don't know.
You don't?
No.
B, anything? Anyone?
Dane Cook.
You have reasons for
reasons.
That.
Yeah.
His face, I guess.
What habit would you like to break? Chrissy, I hope it's drugs.
For me, Christina, it would be biting my nails. I'm a habitual nail biter. And I've tried everything from like garlic nail polish to like...
Oh, that sounds miserable.
Replacing it. Yeah, and it just never works. I'm just a habitual nail. I'm thinking about going to like a hypnotist about it. That'd be cool. Yeah,
it'd and
be
your great. Vomit thing.
I would throw money at that if I were you. I just don't. It's just not a good. It's not good to have manifestations of anxiety like that. You know, like it's the way.
I think it's more of an oral fixation because I don't do it as much if I have something to chew on. Like I used to be really good about carrying mints or like mint flavored tea tree oil toothpicks.
But girl, you have a lot of internal energy. Like you're always tapping on things and like swinging your foot. Like I think it's also part of like your energy. Like I think you need to like fucking like you should run. Like you should just like go do laps whenever you want to bite your nails in the pool.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
And I never realized how energy is so fucking real until I hit like 27 and I was just like, oh, this shit's flowing through me, man. Like, this is what this is. Like, this is why my back hurts. This is why, like, I feel sad about this. Or, like, this is why this never works out for me because this area of my life is not clear. I think energy is, like, a really, really big thing. And it's weird how it shows up like that. Like, I don't think most people think when they're, like, doing something that's, you know, when I have really bad anxiety, I don't realize most of the time it's just, like, excess energy that needs to be burnt off. You know?
Yeah.
Gotta run, you guys.
Habit I wish to break. Probably procrastination.
Oh, yeah.
I procrastinate a ton, and I would like to stop it. Maybe I can go to hypnotherapist?
A hypnotist?
Hypnotherapy something or like that, hypnotist. Yeah, whatever.
I need to get off my lazy fucking chair, dude.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. Chrissy?
I would like to stop staying up so late. I'm a really bad insomniac, but I feel like it's like self-induced.
Right.
Because I like I don't take any of the necessary steps. I like read in my bed and like work from my bed a lot. And I just want to, I would also like to be like habitually cleaner in my personal things, because like I feel like with kitchens, I'm good at cleaning them, but my room is always like an embarrassing
mess. Is that? That like it's so easy to go into someone's house and clean it.
I think it's like shame.
It's so hard to clean your own.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just think it's laziness.
Yeah. And a part of me is like, this is how things are now in this room.
Right.
Like, oh my, like I have a habit of like taking something out of a box and then like having the box there for like 3 months because it's like, oh, it goes there. Or like keeping garbage in my car because like that's where it lives.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd like to be cleaner and go to sleep more on time.
That's very, like, of your profession, though. Like, I have to say, I don't think that's abnormal in what it is that you do. Because when you're writing on that schedule, when you have to just, like, it's just easier to be up at night.
Yeah.
You know? And then the day is, it's just so easy to sleep. And it's also, like, you're young and, you know, most activities happen at night. And, you know, you don't have to go to an office. So why wouldn't you want to be awake during night? You know, I don't know. It's a fun part of the day. All right, this is going to be our last question, and then we're going to do you fear that? What don't women want?
A dick pic.
Unequal pay.
No, well, if you're going to get political about it, Hillary freaking Rodham Clinton.
No, from a man, Chrissy. Don't be a bitch.
Oh, from a man?
Say that. Don't be a little bitch.
I know.
Be a man.
We don't want texts that just say, hey. I've never gotten a text that just says, hey, and been like, oh, what a great conversation starter. Like, I can't
wait
to do
more than
this.
That. Yeah, like, say something.
Yeah, like, what is the purpose
you
of this?
You can do better than that. Do I something hope entertaining. To God. B?
Just, like I said, don't be a little bitch.
Oh, don't. Oh, I thought you were saying that to Chrissy.
No,
and I was like, that's right.
To men out
she
there.
Shouldn't be such a little bitch.
Don't know.
Oh, I thought you were. Because I was like, I was on top of that. I was like, yes, Chrissy's being a little bitch. I would say a tiny man in a tiny vest. That's something that I was talking about right before this. If you're short, that's fine. Just don't wear a vest.
Or
and if
a
you
fedora.
Have a beard, never wear a vest because you just look like an elfin creature.
It's like a tourist.
Who
a
can
tourist. Pull
I guess
off of
a
that.
Tourist, sure. I think a really tall man, you know, in a nicely fitted vest. Vests are not one size fits all. You got to get that sort of thing tailored. And
true.
Better be sharp as fuck.
Yeah. Women don't want sloppiness from a dude.
I can handle sloppiness. I just can't handle an ugly ass vest. Like it just shows like a lapse in judgment to me. And stylistically, I don't understand. You know when guys have like a style and you're just like, I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand like why, when you got into that.
I also hate like time period dressers. That's like guys who are like, I belong in the time like, where I made my greasers. Own whiskey. And like, yeah, guys that just like greasers. Guys, there's that rapper G-Eazy who wears a leather jacket and like slicks his hair back constantly in like a white t-shirt. And it's like, it's so played out. It's just like you're wearing a costume every day. Like, it's fine to have, like, a style, but to be, like, your style is just, like, another decade is just...
Also, like, half of 35-year-old guys are wearing, like, pork pie hats and, like, black rim glasses and have, like, slight stubble. Like, a lazy stubble.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's very...
That's that writer look.
Ugh, it disgusts me.
That's, yeah, that's the improv.
Like, what is that? What is that? I don't... Whatever. Do you fear that, you guys? Ready? Woo! You know how to play the game. If anyone does, excited. It's you guys. Okay. One, deep space.
No, it excites me.
That's Christina Lopez.
I fear that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Chrissy fears deep space.
B does not.
Fire.
No, I love fire. Christina.
Signed, Christina. I fear fire as a concept.
I recently got leash burn. Like, this dog ran, and I grabbed the nylon part of the leash, and it burnt my hand. I don't know if you guys can see it. And it hurt so bad, and it was just one little part of my hand, and I just imagined my whole body just, like, if you're going to, like, in an accident.
Yeah.
Your whole body, it's like your whole body is being eaten by fire ants. Not cool. I fear fire.
Yeah. No, that is really scary. Melting is not appealing to me.
Yeah.
I always like to think that the smoke will pass me out first, but I know I'll feel some of my flesh melt.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Food in countries you've never been to?
No.
Yes.
No.
I fear everything.
The dark?
Yes.
No.
No.
Unexpectedly seeing a naked adult?
Yes.
No.
No. It's funny.
I saw it enough in, like, you know, I'm from New York and I took the train a bunch, so I've...
Why is everyone upset about people who masturbate on the train? Why are you upset about
why
that?
Why would you not be upset about that?
Yeah, why aren't you? God, that's no. It's gross.
You know what? Yeah, so just because someone found a better way to have their commute than me doesn't mean that I need to judge that. I can't.
Moms, that is so unlike you.
The man masturbating under the hat, no one saw him. That video, no one would have ever noticed he was masturbating. She was looking for it. I'm sorry.
What if you were sitting next to someone and they were making orgasm noises? You hate hearing people have sex.
I would stand up and move. I would just move. I do hate people. I do hate it. But
what about someone getting a hand job on a plane next to you?
Here's the thing is that I don't like it next to me, but I don't mind it in theory. Okay. I just don't want it in my backyard. Can I say that? But I'm not completely opposed to subway masturbators.
There's a time and a place, though. Come on.
Yeah. Walking in on my friend masturbating, I think, is... this is kind of like... I was thinking about this the other day. Like,
I've seen about 6 people masturbate in public in my lifetime.
Women?
6 more than me.
2 women.
Sex.
Would you rather walk in on your friend masturbating or having sex? Sorry, this is a tangential question.
Having sex.
Yeah, me too. Because seeing someone masturbate is like the ugliest thing
I know!
In the world. I think that's so, like, I would rather see them, like, shit themselves than... I would rather watch them do anything else than masturbate.
I want to so die! Clowns.
No.
Sleeping alone?
No.
No, used to it.
No.
Getting caught talking to yourself in the car?
No.
I'm embarrassed by it, but I don't fear it.
Yeah.
Same.
Little person porn?
No.
I don't
want to see it, but I'm not afraid of it.
Sure, is it just
vanilla little person sex, or is it like
specific?
Anything. Go wherever your brain wants to go, and you ask yourself if you're okay with that.
I don't fear it.
Okay. No, you don't. Okay, germs.
Yes.
Saying a new word out loud for the first time.
Yes.
Yes.
The idea that you might be the only person in your friend group who doesn't understand the movie you just saw.
No.
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 First dates.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Finding out that you've been suffering from a severe mental illness your entire life.
No, that would be awesome.
That'd be shitty.
No.
Watching mold grow on nature shows.
No.
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 What you'll see when you look in the mirror.
Yes.
Nah.
Sometimes.
Lena Dunham's success.
Yes.
No.
No.
Dancing in public.
No. I'm good. I'm a good ass dancer, so no.
Yes.
Yow. Singing in public.
No.
Yes, but I also like to do it, so it's a weird...
You like to say you just go to malls.
No, like when my friends have karaoke. Oh, things, yeah. Like I have fun, but I get anxiety. Yeah,
right. You went to she it. Just goes to malls and sings. That's what you got out
when
of.
When I
that.
Think of singing in public, like I think of like you're like walking in the grocery store and you're like blah, blah, blah. Those people always seem like really
those people troubled. Weird me out.
Yeah, I can't sing in my car with the windows down.
Oh, I no. kind of I sometimes I do that.
I can't do it. Yeah,
for fun.
Missing out on events / parties.
No.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Having go to events / parties.
Yes.
Nah.
That you're a fraud.
Yes.
No. No.
That no one would ever romantically love you if your face got burned off with acid.
Yes.
Yeah, I think about that all the time.
This is my favorite honestly. Question. I laugh at it every time.
Nobody, the even nobody
I have a
ever
great
loving
personality.
You.
I don't know. I'm friendly. I'm fine.
See, this is the one, the answer that interests me is that there's some people that are just like, no, my personality brings it. And they're like very assured. And then there's other people that are like, that I think are awesome as well, that are like, no.
I think
no,
I just
I
worry
die
about
alone.
Like scaring children.
Yeah. I just wonder if everyone's aww. Lying to me. You know what I mean? Like, because I think I have a good personality, but what if people just think that because, like, I'm
you're so hot.
As a hot person,
mispronouncing someone's name every time you see them and never being corrected.
Yes.
Spending a week yeah. in Times Square.
Yes.
Yes.
Contracting an STD.
Yes. Yes.
Blindly reaching into a bag of jelly beans and putting one in your mouth without looking at
yes.
it.
Yes. No. Gross.
Oh, yeah.
So right? gross.
Going through TSA.
Yeah. No. I get a little freaked out.
I do too. I'm terrified of it.
I feel like someone's always going to like slip cocaine in my bag. Right?
Me too. Yeah, I'm just convinced I'm going to go to like, and you know, they send you to federal prison.
Yeah.
And then you just spend the rest of your life getting raped. And then that's and then you die there. And then you die. And then maybe you kill yourself in the shower if you luck out and get something that you can kill yourself with. But that's if you're lucky. True. That's really dark to think that in prison you're lucky if you can figure out a way to kill yourself.
Our prison system is fucked up.
Yeah. I heard it's so easy to get heroin in prison. Anyway. I probably just get into that. To be honest, if I had a life sentence, I'd probably just start doing heroin in prison.
I would also definitely
what? What? What am I supposed bitch. To do? I'm bored. Why wouldn't I just take naps all day?
I don't think they let you just take naps all day.
Yeah,
they
you have to like, work and stuff.
Yeah, you have to do like shit all the time.
Be like, I'm sick. I'm feeling it. Now you don't have to get a job if you don't want. If you're like psychologically,
you do.
You have to do.
You have to.
Like, yard part of the thing is that you, then you get money for your commissary.
They can't tell
and,
me
like,
what to do.
Then yeah. Well, then you get thrown no, in solitary.
I know. And I'd be in solitary just fucking
the shoe.
On so much smack. Okay, so
you wouldn't be able to get smack in the solitary.
Needles.
No.
Oddly, I fear them, which is strange. Not good for my heroin habit. What's in tap water?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Can we talk about LA tap water? Is it okay? Because
I think it is.
I don't.
I think it, I don't know. I think about that a lot.
I just don't drink it.
I don't fucks with it.
People say it's bad.
I think it has fluoride in it, right? Which is good. I feel like that was something that we all had as kids that kids don't have now because they're not drinking tap water as much. Fluoride and water.
Hmm.
I think I think kids now have much worse teeth. I might be wrong. They could be eating healthier in general, I bet. But there's if people aren't drinking tap water, where are you getting all that fluoride? Anyway, spending a month or more with your family and only your family.
Yes.
No.
Sunday nights.
Yes.
Love them.
Yeah, I love them too.
That you have bad body odor or breath and no one knows how to tell you.
Yes.
Yes.
Nah, I don't have that shit.
Commitment.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Becoming homeless.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Change.
Yes.
No.
I fear change.
No. Yeah.
Sorry.
Accidentally falling in love with a stripper or sex worker.
Yeah.
No.
What?
No.
Me? Really?
I want to know. I'll ask what they want, what they do with their life. And if I don't like it, it's just like an immediate turn off. I'm sorry.
Oh, so you're not afraid of falling in love with one?
No, I am. Because wait,
she's a, you're. Are you afraid it's you'll how, fall in love and it'll ruin it? Is that what you're saying?
Like, am I falling in love before I figure out what they are, or
no? I mean, like, if you fell in love with a stripper or a sex worker, that'd be quite the plight if you couldn't handle your partner being naked and or having sex with other people. No, that's how I think of it.
I would fear. Yeah, I don't want that at all.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
I can't be a part of that negotiation. Like, if someone came at me with that and just said, like, look, I'm with you, but I'm going to sell my dick on the side.
Yeah.
I just be like, really when upset. I think of that question, it's more of like, am I afraid that I'm going to fall in love with a stripper or sex worker? And no, I'm not afraid. I just don't think it's going to happen or if it, yeah. it would get that far.
I don't know how I would. I don't really know anyone who.
Yeah.
Vomiting.
Not to like shame that.
Not because, scared
like,
of vomiting. If you, I don't fear vomiting.
I hate it. I fear it.
We all know how I feel about this.
Bugs.
Yes.
No.
Being fisted.
Yeah, definitely fear that.
For sure.
No.
You don't fear being fisted.
I think we've been over this.
Like, yeah, I'm going to explain this. I don't fear it. I don't fear that it's going to happen to me. Do I want it? Absolutely not.
It's not about fearing that it's going to happen to you.
The game
it's
is like, called Do You Fear That? I yeah, don't but fear
it's like,
fisting.
Do you fear that, not do you fear it's going to happen? So it's like just in general, like seeing fisting, I fear it. Being fisted,
I don't
fear
it. I would just be like, oh, that's gross. I'm not afraid of it.
You're not afraid of the biological repercussions or whatever, like what it could do to your system?
I just don't want it. So I'm not afraid of it.
What if you got a fist up there against your will?
Then
I'm afraid of that.
I would be afraid of getting anything shoved anywhere against my will.
That's true. That's true. But a fist would be extra bad.
Yeah.
You don't think of a fist and just go, that is an undesirable sex act.
I don't look at fists and think about them being inserted anywhere in my body.
You just compared my mouth to an anus earlier.
But I didn't talk about putting anything in there.
Unusually good looking people.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
No.
The dentist.
No.
Yes. No.
Death.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Knowing what your hot dog is actually made of.
No.
So
I feel like I know.
Yeah.
Crying in public.
No, yes. I love that. No. I do that constantly.
Yes. I have a deep fear of showing any sort of emotion in public.
You don't really. Yeah. You don't really show it in private always either. Being with a girl who's crying in public.
No. Yes.
Yeah. That's actually, yeah, that's terrifying.
Being arrested for a murder that you didn't commit.
Yes.
Heights.
Sometimes
that I can fall from.
Yeah. I agree with Chrissy on that one.
Chrissy, the idea that your worst enemy might be right about you.
Yes.
No.
Nah.
Also, I don't know who my enemies are. Like, I would love to know that. Like, just before I die, get a list of the people who hated me and be like, I knew it.
I know. Like, I kind of want that.
I have no idea because I feel like some people low key, like on the sly, hate me.
Sure. Lots of people are fake, but
right.
I also feel like that's like. Like tracking who unfollows you on Twitter.
True.
Like I wouldn't want to know who's unfollowed me in life.
Yeah.
You know?
Or is following you in a malicious way.
Because
I think that's like the worst thing. Like I don't care if someone doesn't care about me at all. I care if they like, if I really make them mad and they're like actively doing like shit talking me and stuff.
Like hate reading me IRL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you guys, let's do please advise.
Woo!
Questions.
Hi, my name is Ariana, and I hope I'm not too late to miss the wonderful, wonderful woman who has birthed and raised one of my personal heroes, Molly. And my question is less about advice and more just curious. I just finished your book, Molly, and I am obviously a huge fan of you, and I am really impressed and proud of how far you've come in your life and all the things that you were so open about in your book. And I kind of just wanted to know what your mom thought of everything and if she, after reading it, has any further advice for people who are living in LA and who might be going through similar things. And yeah, and I also just wanted to say hey, and I think you guys are fucking awesome. Thanks, bye.
Well, that was America's cutie pie, Ariana from Vanderpump Rules, which by the way, I want to point out, I went to her birthday party last week and her friends from college were like, why does everyone call her Ariana? It's Ariana. And her friend Meredith said, I think Lisa started it. And I know what it is. It's the elongated A. We do it in Boston and they do it over there and in Britain, and it's Ariana, the way that I say aunt, like it's,
that was
it's
her
that's
calling?
What
yeah
oh damn, that was her.
She, I didn't recognize her voice.
Yeah, apologies to her. She got that question in after we had already finished filming with mommy recording with Molly's mom, so Sorry.
I think my mom liked my book. I don't know. You know, to be honest, we didn't really talk about it. It's weird to talk about with your own mom.
I asked her about it, actually.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because I was curious and we were chit-chatting.
Good for you. No, good. What did she say?
She said she actually learned a lot from it. And I think it's normal because, like, when you talk to your parents, you don't necessarily tell them everything that's going on in your life that you would put in a book. But she enjoyed it from what she told me. It wasn't, yeah.
One thing that Sean is big on that I think she would say is that if something's not working for you, don't do it. And I think that was a thing that was poignant to me at the time. That's something that she practices in her own life. Like, you know, at the age of 50 or something, she just decides she didn't want to really drink anymore. So she doesn't drink anymore. And it's not like it wasn't like a huge thing. It just wasn't working for her, which I think that's a really good point. I think a lot of times we don't listen to our bodies enough. And what's an interesting thing of this too is that I never really feel that I liked drinking per se. I always felt I was like better as a stoner. And I find that to be true with a lot of people I talk to about drinking, is that a lot of people, especially people who have problems with drinking, didn't really like drinking when they started. Like, their body was naturally just not into it, but they had to like build up a tolerance and like trick themselves into being like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And if you go to college, you just start to feel like, oh, it's lame to like just be stoned at every party or sober. You know, everyone's drinking these beers. Like, I remember being so nauseous trying to stomach beer for the first couple months of college.
Oh yeah, especially since, like, for me, like, we had Natural Ice, which is like, yes, the worst fucking beer. And when you're trying to play beer pong with Natural Ice, it was like instant gag. So I thought I didn't like beer, but as I got older, I just developed this taste for it.
I mean, yeah, it's when you're 18 years old and your body is like actively attempting to reject the cheap alcohol that you're forcing yourself to consume because you think that the goal for Friday night is to get fucked up,
yeah,
text someone drunk, make some mistakes, like wake up the next morning, get a burrito, smoke pot, watch a movie. That's college. I mean, look, college was really fun, but I think a lot of destructive patterns were developed there. I mean, they are with a lot of people our age. And I just would say, I think my mom's advice would be to pay attention to your body, because I think that we don't realize oftentimes how many times we force ourselves into being okay with something we're not.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that extends to a larger part of like ignoring your gut feeling too.
Right.
And just like what you want to do, yeah, in general in life.
Yeah. So get comfortable with what your body's telling you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, next call.
Hi, Malls. My name is Christina. I'm 25 years old, living in San Francisco, and I'm calling you today because I need some advice on how to advise someone myself. To give you a little background information on me, I'm working in the interior design industry, a dream of mine that I've had since I was little. I'm living in the city I've wanted to live in since forever, and I've been in an amazing, although of course at times rocky, relationship for almost 7 years. My life is far from perfect, but this is just some relevant information for this question. So my little sister Danielle is 21 years old and in an extremely hard place right now. She lives in Reno, which is our hometown, currently works part-time at a hair salon, and has very recently stopped going to school. As someone who takes having a career and or a stable life very seriously, it's a big issue for me, and I know for her personally as well. Danielle has absolutely no idea what she wants to do with her life and feels incredibly lost in that respect. I believe that at the foundation of her issues is her relationship. She's been with a guy named Daniel for 2 years and has had what I thought to be a great relationship. They're both a little lazy and academically challenged, but they push each other to build a cute little life that includes their own place, a dog, a cat, and a group of friends. Daniel's been on family vacations with us and has developed a great relationship with our parents. However, Danielle's recently informed me that he's cheated on her, or at the very least had the intention to, but didn't act on it. When I say had the intention to, I mean he went to his hometown in California, met up with a past fling and her friend with a buddy of his, and had a little slumber party. According to Danielle, he's basically assumed he'd cheat, but ended up backing out. The details are a little unclear to me, and after a drunken call last night, I think my sister revealed something similar has happened again around 3 months ago. People in her friend group, aka Daniel's friends, are trying to convince her that it's a guy thing, that she should get over it because boys will be boys, and in the end, Daniel loves her. This absolutely enrages me. the intention of cheating would hurt me personally just as much as the actual act of going through with it. It's not like Daniel is this amazing catch. Up until recently, he's been unemployed and now works odd construction jobs part-time. When he was living off my sister, he tried to convince her to apply for food stamps. He's been arrested for drinking as a minor and has been on house arrest. He doesn't have a college education or a long-term plan, and his friends are absolute losers. I know that he's not a bad person, and I know that they're young and still figuring it out, but he's just an incredibly misguided, lazy, trashy sort of guy that is not right for my sister or a monogamous relationship. Danielle is an incredibly sweet soul who always has good intentions. She's definitely a better person than I am, albeit a little lazy herself with no direction. She looks to me for guidance, and I don't want to pressure her or make her feel inferior because she doesn't have exactly what I have. Because I wholeheartedly believe that anyone can find their happiness, and that happiness comes in different shapes and forms.
Hi, Christina.
My name's Christina, too.
So is mine, but mine's with a K.
They call me Christina Overload. Anyway, girl, sisters can be as, like, different as any two strangers in the world. And I think that you are on a path, and I think that sounds awesome, but as you acknowledge, it's not the only path in life. And I think it sucks to watch someone you love make mistakes. Like, your sister is, like, dating, obviously, a loser. You have every right to be upset. She's, like, from – you have no reason not to think she's dismantling her potential in the future. But it's really – you can't do anything about it. She's 21. She's going to do whatever the fuck she wants. And you'll just have to hope that your sister, being the smart person she is, she'll learn her lesson sooner rather than later. I mean, she is 21 years old in a very serious live-in relationship with someone. I mean, of course he's cheating. Of course he's drinking underage. Of course he's getting caught at it. Like, they're young and stupid. And I think that – you know, going to school isn't always the right answer for everyone, so you can't look too much at that. And not having a complete idea of what you want to do with your life when you're 21 is not a bad thing either. And I just think you got to let her – what would you do?
Like, when I was 21, I was just going
to – 3 years ago?
I was just going to say – well, I mean, it's crazy because I feel like – I was doing the right things with school and I was getting good grades and, you know, like, whatever. But I was such a fucking mess in my personal life. And, like, anyone who tried to tell me what to do, I would know that they were telling me the truth and I just wouldn't do it. And it would just push people away. But eventually people, like, figure it out and circle back. But
yeah, you don't want to talk to people who are going to tell you the truth.
Yeah. The more you – I just think that the more you, like, if you're just every day nagging your sister about this shitty dude, like, the more she's just going to hide stuff from you and pull away and stuff. So it's, like, my advice and what I would do is just to be, like, just be her sister and be, like, oh, I'm always here for you and – like, you already know what I think, you know, but, like, you can tell me anything, et cetera.
And don't forget the arrogance of a young person.
Right.
Like, she's probably looking at you and being like, this fucking old bitch.
Yeah, and
lives in, like,
25
San Francisco
too,
so with her, like, fucking lame-ass boyfriend and her safe job. And she's fucking picking on me and she does not get it. Like, your sister, I mean, that's – it's there's a defiance behind, like,
yeah,
not taking advice when you're that age. I say the same things to my cousin all the time. I'm like, a guy is not – the answer to your problems. Like, even if you find a great guy, he's not going to fix your life. A guy's not going to pay for your life. A guy is not necessarily going to be with you forever. Even getting a ring from a guy doesn't necessarily guarantee that he's always going to be there for you. And it does not mean that he's going to be faithful or a good person or a great guy to raise kids with. You got to figure out your own life. I say that to her all the time. It doesn't stick. But I know that if I at least float that message to her, it helps. And I say it right from a place of, like, personal empowerment as opposed to being like, your life's like, here's a problem with your job. Here's a problem with the guys you're dating. Here's a problem with the way you're meeting these guys. And then here's a judgment about how you spend your money. Like,
it also helps to, like, advise people with, like Mal said, like, empowerment as opposed to, like, disparaging their life. Because really you're saying the same things but just in a different way. And I don't mean be like – all flowery and like, girl, like, you're so great, blah, 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 everything's fine. But, like, just to be like, give them practical things to do. Like, another thing is that I feel like you should just spend more time with your sister, like, not talking about this stuff and, like, doing other things. Cause, like, the more, you know, you just like hang out and do other stuff in life, the less time you have to spend on fuckboys.
I do realize that when I was younger, there were a lot of people that nudged me in positive directions without me realizing it.
Me too.
Definitely. Like, I definitely felt like, yeah, I really like, and when you grow up now, like I'm now that I'm on the other side of that and I see the people that took it upon themselves to help me, I'm like, you know, I'm pretty blown away by that. So I think that ultimately you being here for your sister during this time and being a good sister will mean a lot more to her than any sort of advice. Yeah. And I don't, and you don't know, make I her didn't feel like think you up. Were, Christina, going to dress her down. Like, I didn't think you were going to be like, hey, sister, like, your boyfriend's a fucking scummy cheater loser. You need to do better than him. And also, like, you need to go to school or you're going to fail your life. Like, it doesn't, she's I didn't just think gonna, you were going to do that, but just maybe just don't be another person telling her she's fucking up right now.
Right. She's just going to have that change for herself. She has to make that decision on her own. But maybe if you show her like the better side of life and how she can be treated better.
Especially with guys. It's like, tell us all the time. Inspiration, it doesn't matter. Right? You could be her mother telling, if your mom told you that your boyfriend was a jerk, would you believe her? You can have the people closest to you that mean the most to you tell you these things and it won't mean anything.
You can even have your boyfriend, for all we know, like he's like, oh, I'm a piece of shit, and she still probably doesn't believe it. That's like, I've done that so many times, like dated people who were like, oh, I'm shitty, and I'm like, I'm going to fix you.
No, I talk about that all the time. Yeah. If a guy tells you that he's a loser, you need to believe
right
him.
If anyone ever tells you
it's like that Maya Angelou quote, like, people show
it's true. And that is
tell you directly, like with like people were like throwing red flags in my face and I was just like taking them and like making little bows and being like, it's fine.
But here's the thing, and I agree with you, I did the same thing. I also think it's a problem that people have done to themselves that might not be true. It's like this false storytelling where people are like, I'm a loser, I'm weird. And like girls love to be like, I'm crazy. Yeah. I'm so kooky. I'm so fucking cray cray. I'm so nuts. Like if you can't handle me at my best, you can't handle me at my worst or whatever.
Marilyn Monroe quotes.
Keep the Mae West quotes for your AIM profile. But I do think that that's something that people do that's just like not right, because there's no difference between you and the people who aren't saying that about themselves. Mm-hmm. The only difference is that they've learned that they're not that fucking special and to not say things like that about themselves. True. They're actually not that weird. They're actually not that crazy or that big of a loser. Everyone's coming in with the same baseline insecurities and like, you know, weird bullshit. That's my Arizona iced tea. Next call.
Hey, Malls. This is Stephanie. I'm from Chicago, and I just have a question for you about about smoking weed. I smoke a lot of weed, but I feel like it's messing with my creativity, and in good ways and in bad ways, because I feel like the more weed I smoke, the more creative I am, but I don't want to rely on that, and I think it's all in my head also. So if you have any advice on smoking weed and being creative, please let me know. Thanks. Bye.
Stephanie, I am picturing you as a 45-year-old man with a beer belly that's just like popping out slightly from the bottom of your t-shirt. And you're just like kind of like leaning and laying on your couch, and there's a beer and a bong on the thing, and you've got some Cheez-Its. And you haven't showered in like 4 days. That's what imagery you're
that
giving
sounds
me.
Sounds like
with
the
that
fantasy
voicemail
you have about me too. Just like being on a couch with food on you for 4 days.
Yeah, that actually
off.
might be my number one sexual fantasy. Yeah. Is someone just passed out on a couch covered in chips and sweat. Anyway, girl, you can't smoke that much weed. It
weed
sounds
isn't
like you're
making
too
you
much weed.
An artist. Like weed is not. You might think weed is making you more creative. It's not.
She said she thinks it's making her both less and more creative.
Yeah, there's like harmful and like wonderful ways. Like just from what you said about it, I can tell that people are probably listening to your ideas or looking at your stuff and like being like, what the fuck?
Here's the thing. Is that whole like write drunk, edit sober or whatever thing is, it's so stupid. And you, okay, this is what you can do. You can write sober and then you can do a notes pass in a separate document that is not the master document. You can do a joke pass or you can do a little like, ooh, like here's this like metaphor, this analogy, or this like ruffle or whatever. You can just, you can add that shit in when you're stoned if you want, and then, but don't make that your master copy. Right. Because sure, I'm sure you are churning out some gems when you're, you know, in a different place. That's good. That's why, I mean, you know, a lot of people do that, but that can't be your main thing.
Would you suggest for someone to like sanction weed smoking into a certain amount of time? Like, but you were talking about your
schedule
book
your weed smoking.
Well, kind of like be like, this is work time during these hours.
You absolutely and then, like, should not be smoking pot.
Play time.
Yeah. No.
Because I have a lot of friends who would like wake and bake and go to work, and they're all like video editors. And so, video editors are the biggest stoners.
Yeah. I used to do that shit too. Yeah. I used to do that shit too.
But then and they were like, oh, it helps me work. But then in the end, like once they started doing stuff sober, they were like, oh my God, I do this so much faster.
It absolutely – I mean, if you hate your job and you need to go and, like, if you need to just get through the 8 hours in the day and you're picking up a check.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. If you smoke weed at work.
If you work at, that's like, your Best prerogative. Buy, whatever. But, like, it sounds like you're doing creative work. And I just feel like it's it seems like it's clouding you actually seeing what's good and what's bad about your stuff. And you know that.
And at first, it's probably going to be weird to write totally sober if you're not used to it or if you've been, like – writing stoned more often, but you're going to be better at it.
Yeah.
Maybe not at first, but if you continue to just not be sober when you're, or to be sober when you're writing, you'll slowly get a lot better at it. I think part of your confidence is coming from the place that you know you wrote that fucked up,
mm-hmm.
or you know you painted
think you
that or
replicate
did whatever.
It like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So only get stoned like at certain times, man. You can't spend the whole week high. Like,
it's a nighttime thing. That's like, you know,
it's a wind down. Maybe what I always do is like, if I want to like hop on Twitter and say things when I'm fucked up or like write a thing, I just go to the notepad in my phone and I write stuff down. And then if anything is good from it the next day, then I'm like, okay. But to use that as like the final draft, I think is always a mistake.
Yes. That's something I switched over to my notepad in a very like active way.
Mm-hmm.
Around my mid-20s when I just was like, I can't be just like getting stoned and tweeting like, I want donuts or like whatever.
Yeah, it's some things you'll look back at and you'll be like, oh, that's funny or that's good or whatever. But like looking back at that stuff is more important than having that, like Mal said, being like the sole source of what you think your like creative mojo is.
Yeah, it's not. Because by the way, it's not. It's like the same way that people who say that they don't take antidepressants because they're afraid it's going to like upset their creativity are just dead wrong. It's not. Yeah. It actually just makes you better
because mm-hmm.
you're active in it.
Yeah, and are you getting stoned a lot for a reason? Like maybe you're anxious or depressed or something or having some problems, because people who get like averagely fucked up all the time tend to have a reason.
Yeah,
like
what are you escaping from?
Right, maybe you need to like look at that. Like does writing scare you?
I was having this conversation with someone yesterday that a lot of times boredom is really just you don't want to deal with stuff.
Like, yeah, right,
like,
for sure.
Like using the internet as a distraction, because I was in Houston for a month in March. And it was in a really rural area, actually, just outside of Houston. And the internet wasn't really that great, and we couldn't really watch TV. And so I would be bored a lot. But I realized that it wasn't just pure boredom. It was just that I there was a lot of stuff that I wasn't dealing with that I needed to deal with, and I didn't have my mechanisms to escape, like, you know, internet, looking at the internet or watching streaming stuff on Netflix or drinking.
Of, like, what something to deal with?
I can give one, I feel like, if you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I recently got a new job, and for like the first month I really was – I had a first job before that, which was writing for a website, and my next job was the same thing. So I was like, oh, everything's going to be the same. And it wasn't. It was a new job, and I was really uncomfortable and like insecure about how I was doing. And so I would just like spend all my time like reading stuff or like – running or doing like other things that weren't work, and then being like, oh God, like my hair is on fire, work is so bad. But it wasn't that work was bad. It's just that like I was not, and it wasn't that I was like bored. It was that I wasn't like confronting the fact that I was like really scared of like being bad at this new job, or that like I wasn't, that I'm not a good writer or whatever. So I feel like that was a thing where I had to like stop and like really try. And then once I tried, I was like, oh, okay, I was so scared of this before, but it's fine. Like, the job doesn't suck. Because I had convinced myself. I was like, oh, my God. Like, what if I'm bad at this? What if this sucks? But really, once I looked at it, it wasn't that. And I was getting, like, low-key drunk, like, every night, too. So it was like, I feel like that's a similar situation where it's like, I felt like I had to write stuff. I felt like I had to be, like, tipsy or something.
Right.
But it wasn't that. It was that I just had to focus.
Well, it can be scary, especially when you're doing something as, like, personal as writing, to continuously let your guard down and, like, source that internal thing all the time. That's really hard for people to do conversationally. It's really hard when you're doing it and you're putting it into writing that then other people read, and you are responsible for having had those thoughts and putting them out into the universe. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of the reason why, like, I felt like, I think I've had writer's block for about 3 years now, and I think it's because of that, because I have that fear. And
that's resistance. You know, so read The Art of War or The War of Art. Sorry. It's great. But it's like, it is so, when I read that book, it just clicked for me. I was like, this is it's resistance. It is my ego actively fighting against what I am naturally drawn to do.
And it would be so nice and easy if, like, weed were your superpower, right?
Right.
Like, I feel like that's why you think that, is because wouldn't that be so nice if you could just wake up every day and be high and then be great?
Yes.
But you can't. Like, and that's what drinking is too. A lot of times it's like, that's my fantasy of how I am at parties. It's like, everyone likes me and I'm super fun, but, like, that's not the reality. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't come from alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, actually, it makes everything worse. And the same goes for smoking weed and writing, I think.
So, shockingly, Chrissy hasn't fried her brains with drugs and alcohol to the point where she can no longer read. So, she is going to read our letter this week.
It's one of my few remaining skills. Okay. Hey, Malls. I tried to call, but I ended up crying or talking forever. So, I apologize for the less preferred method of advice request. I'm hoping that as a longtime internet aficionado, you can help me deal with my current heartache. About 3 years ago, I started talking to this guy online. It was random and completely uncharted territory for me. I hadn't had online friends prior to meeting him, as I don't frequent Tumblr or message boards or anything. I barely even use Twitter. Jealous. Anyways, as a result of having no online friendship experience, I'm totally stuck right now because my dear friend has died. We were not in a romantic relationship. I didn't even know his last name, nor did he know mine. Our conversations were flirty, intense, light, and sometimes a little sexy, often hilarious, and most of all, frequent. I talked to him nearly every day in some form or another. We kept our identities private, which I preferred, and he lived in the U.S. I live in Canada. We never met, never planned to, yet my heart is torn knowing he's gone. My friend had been sick the whole time we were friends. He never told me that. I'm in healthcare, so I particularly think he didn't want me to know the true state of his health. In the back of my mind, I was always skeptical that he was fucking with me or lying because I've been wary of online strangers. The thing is, he emailed me in April that he needed a break to deal with his health issues for a bit. And finally, the other night, my gut told me to look him up. I found his obituary by Googling his first name, the state he told me he grew up in, and the word obituary. I'm sorry. Just like that, I knew his parents' names, his sister's name, his parents' address, and where the funeral was, and the few holes he left about his life were all filled in. The only thing left is that I don't know how he died. So, Malls, here are my questions. Is it batshit crazy or rude or insensitive for me to reach out to his family? How the hell do I grieve for him? I feel so weird and terrible, and I desperately want to know how he died. But I don't know if it's fair to his family to open up something this weird. I tried to keep this short, so I apologize if there are a ton of holes in the story. I'm just seeking out advice on how I heal the strongest loss I've ever had. Thanks for helping me out. Megan, age 28, hetero, single, Virgo. Maybe that'll help. The end.
Oh, wow. Well, Megan, I have to say, I was kind of like rolling my eyes and like making jerk off motions over here at the beginning of this, because up until you said you found the obituary, it was so obvious to me that you had been catfished, because catfishes always kill themselves off. And by the way, I'm not ruling that out as a possibility. Still.
What if someone was just impersonating? One of my friends was talking to someone who was impersonating a dead girl for like a long time. He got catfished.
Exactly. And
so,
it's not normal to take a break from the internet to deal with your health issues. Even if you are sick, you still use the internet.
Yeah.
People with cancer use the internet. People dying of AIDS in a hospital bed have cell phones and use apps. That's not, I don't know what disease wouldn't be better by passing the time during recovery using the internet.
And how you guys never talked about that is bizarre.
Unless, like, it's addiction.
Yeah. That's why, so do you, you obviously think that she shouldn't reach out to his family, right?
I think that out of respect for, I think that she needs to question what she thinks he would want. And if she thinks that he would want to give her that peace, then, and it sounds like because he didn't give you that peace, he doesn't think that's a priority for you to know that. He would rather keep his family's anonymity. I mean, I think it's very interesting that you guys were able to stay anonymous for as long as you were, feeling that intimate with someone, but like knowing very little about them.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, even speculating about like what he did or didn't want you to know, and Malz is right, like that's a huge clue in that he didn't want you to know certain things because he never told you. Like even without that though, it's like contacting his family with all of this backstory stuff, it just sounds stressful, like an added thing. And how do you know, I mean, that there aren't other people in your same position? Like I kind of feel like I would assume that.
You know what might be not bad? If you wrote a letter and a nice little card just saying, you know, I was a friend of your son's and I'm so sorry to hear about his, like, your loss. He was a wonderful person. He was someone that brought me a lot of joy in our brief time of knowing each other. And, you know, I want to send you love. Just be able to say all the things that you want to say to his family. But then also maybe at the end say, you know, I really would be interested in talking. If you guys want to feel like you want to share with me how he passed, I don't know. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe I don't.
Maybe just express that instead of just being like, how did he die? Like Mal said, like, send your condolences and then express that, like, you're, it's unfortunate to you or like saddens you that you don't, you didn't know enough to know what happened.
Yes.
Like, and it's something that you've really been thinking about. They're in your thoughts, et cetera, et cetera. And then if they want to tell you, they'll tell you.
Yeah. But I think it's not, you know, like say I understand if you don't feel it's my business or whatever. Like make sure that you, and these are not, this is all bad version. I'm sure you have a much better way of wording things. But like just make sure that that's the sentiment that comes across. Respectful. I wouldn't call. I wouldn't. Definitely don't do anything like show up. I wouldn't send a baked good or flowers. I would just maybe write a nice note if you feel like you can't discern that he is maybe not interested in you contacting his family.
Right. Just keep in mind that like this is like a selfish pursuit for you, you know? So they would be doing you a favor. Like don't confuse yourself into thinking that like this is going to like tie up some loose ends for them or
something.
And this
is the worst kind of selfish thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, like going through a breakup or something and wanting your ex to talk to you every day. It's like, it's like,
it's not their job to help you. Like you,
you
have to grieve it in your own way and not, I mean, also like think about what it means to you to like know how he died. Like, I don't know. I feel like maybe that just bothers you because there was so much stuff you didn't know anyway. And it's just like in that bag of like stuff you don't know. It's not like knowing that is going to fix, you're not going to miss this person, miss talking to them less. And like, I mean, question the fact that you were talking to him so much too. Like that's missing from your life. Like maybe you can find a healthier outlet than like having a relationship with a stranger.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to call that unhealthy though. I feel like a lot of people do that. And that's the beginning of a lot of really great friendships and romantic relationships. And you know, not everyone connects in person with people. I think that that's, I think some people are, you know, they just do better, you know, unfortunately for all sorts of reasons, they do better through manual long form typing.
Yeah. I mean, just maybe you can find like another outlet and not miss this person so much.
Did you guys video chat?
I don't think. She said, I don't think so.
She did say that they were in contact in some way or another every day. So I don't know. Does that mean if you guys had a phone call or a video chat, could you let us know that?
She said that they never knew what each other looked like.
Oh.
I think. I'm pretty sure she said that they never they preferred to keep their identities anonymous so they don't know, which is interesting.
I do think that this smells fishy.
Yeah, I just think there's so many things that should have come up, and like, it's too weird that you didn't know what he looked like or like his last name or why he was sick, and that he just disappeared, and then conveniently there's this obit. You know?
She didn't mention like the forms that in which they communicated. She just said that they talked every day in some form or another, and they did keep their identities private. My question is, where did she find this obituary? Was it in a newspaper, or was it one of those online obituaries that anyone can kind of make up?
And you also only had his first name, so like, how do you know that this?
Like, maybe... John Alabama. Like, what? Yeah, was how it do a you super know this unique first name?
Yeah.
Miguel Nebraska. Like, what would I don't
right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
There's a lot of stuff missing here.
Joaquin in Phoenix.
Yeah. Ooh,
too soon.
Too soon. Okay. He's not dead. We know.
Sorry for your loss, girl.
Hey, Malls. This is Sarah from Philadelphia. This might sound a bit minor, but right now it is everything to me, and I am freaking out about it, and it's all I think about. So I guess the issue started about 3 months ago when I went to get my eyebrows done, and they asked me if I wanted to get my lip done, and I was like, what? And then they asked me again the next time I got my eyebrows done, and they never asked me this question before, and I started to become super aware of my lady stash, which I think has always been sort of there, which probably is normal. But it's been blonde, and now my hair there is getting darker, and you can only really see it on the corner of my lips. Sometimes I see it, and it's crazy, and other times I don't see it at all. And I guess I'm worried about getting it waxed because of the fear that it might grow back thicker. And then, like, you would see the little hair sticking out more after it's waxed. I really don't know. I honestly am too afraid to bring this up to a girlfriend because I'm embarrassed, and I think it might be common, but Google is not really helping me out with this issue, and I was hoping that maybe you or one of the girls that you have on the podcast could help me out with this. I'm sure other people get it done. I just need some reassurances that it's okay to get it done, or if there's maybe a better way to handle it, like bleaching it or something. Please advise. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, it's hormonal. You're older, so it's hormonal if your hair is turning dark.
Welcome and to the club, girl.
You should get it threaded, not waxed, mm-hmm. because wax, that's a very sensitive area of your face to have wax put, and it can affect the pigmentation of your skin if you don't wear SPF. A lot of people don't know that, by the way. If you get anything waxed, put sunscreen on it before you go outside, your eyebrows too, because peel off a layer of your skin that when the sun hits it, it will leave a discoloration. And if it's especially in somewhere that's like a hormone-y zone, you could develop some women get like blackness. I've seen, if you Google on YouTube, pregnant lady, wait.
If you Google on YouTube.
Google on YouTube. Oh, sorry. If you go on YouTube and search... like pregnant lady makeup mustache or something like that. You're going to find a lot of ladies who are talking about pregnancy beard, which is something that a lot of women get. A lot of women have their whole fucking lower face turn like dark, dark black during their pregnancy.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, a lot of bad things can happen. But there's, you know, I here's the thing with bleaching. I actually saw a picture of someone so very recently that this happened to that I can't stop thinking about it. And I can't advise bleaching personally because she had just a clear mane on her lip. Mm-hmm. And it was like very obvious. She had like a blonde, hairy lip. And I was like, well, how is that the lesser of two evils? Like now you just have a clear,
you look
fuzzy
like the Lorax.
Coat. Yeah, you look like the Lorax.
You look like
exactly.
A Dr. Seuss creation.
Exactly. So if, I mean, it's normal. Everyone has hair all over their face.
Yeah. I was just going to say, like, and this is kind of a gross, I don't know if it's gross, but whatever. Just fairly recently, I started getting, like, one hair on my chin.
Oh, my God. I have three persistent chin hairs. I'm going to tell you something crazy in a minute.
And then, like, out of nowhere, like, I'll pluck it and I check periodically if it's returned. But then, like, when I do find it again, it's really long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a maintenance thing. These things are, like, surprising maintenance things. And it's because we didn't have to take care of it in our teens and early 20s. And so when these things start popping up, we're like, what the fuck is this?
And you always find it at, like, I'll be, like, in my car, like, on the way to a thing. And then I'll, like, touch my chin and then I'll feel it. And you, like, don't see it, but then there's just, like, raggedy, coarse hair on my chin.
This is
so
why
upsetting.
Our moms are so exhausted. Like, yeah. They just have their shit just piles up with every year.
And it's infuriating. Like, as soon as something, like, the acne on my face has migrated from my forehead to my chin. Like, the mustache has gotten less pronounced, but, like, the chin hairs are there. And so it's just, like, upsetting. Like, no matter what, there's always going to be something.
Does everyone here shave their big toe?
Yes.
No.
You don't
I do.
Yeah. V, you're so cute. I can't handle it.
I'm not, like, very hairy in the first place. So, I mean.
Whatever.
Yeah, look at my arms. So.
I know.
Yeah, you're not hairy. You're like a seal. You are. You're like a sea mammal. I love it. Jealous. I'm big on Lay's hair removal. As
I don't
know,
shave my arms.
Yeah. It's not easy for us Irish gals, us Jewish gals. I'm not Jewish.
Us Sicilian ladies.
It's not easy for us. Well, I mean, like, Middle Eastern babes, not easy for us. And Latina women as well. It's not easy. We're all a bunch of hairy freaks. And there's a lot of, and I think that.
Look. I got a little bit of, like, hair on my lips too, like near my lip.
I mean, I feel.
Not on my lips, in my lip area.
Yeah, whatever.
I get like on the corners, but also I've dealt with discoloration in all sorts of areas on my face from sun damage. Yeah. And I have like random dark splotches on my cheeks that show up through makeup that, like, won't go away. I'm saying you're changing. Be aware of it. Don't fall prey to culture's beauty demands. But at the same time, it's very important that you feel good about yourself. And I have to say, it doesn't feel good to be like, oh, like, do I look like a man? That doesn't feel good.
Or just
when
to
you
like
are
have
a lady.
To feel, touch your lip and feel a mustache. You just might not want that.
Especially since, like, that. Guys have it so easy that, like,
they
in terms
can just
of, like,
be
low
disgusting trolls and still be like
nose hair.
Guys just wake up in the morning and they're like, this is fine.
I cannot get
so
my
gross.
Legs moist enough to save my life. Like, I'm just applying straight up vitamin E oil on them now.
Coconut
just
oil.
Like, yes, I do coconut oil as well. But max moisture and my legs suck it up in an hour. Do you want to know what I did yesterday, though? I gave something a try that I've never done in my life. I nared.
Oh. Ah.
I've done that before. I'm allergic to it.
Actually, I used to love Nair, and now it, like, makes my skin just bumpy and weird and stuff. I don't know what happened.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm in a lot of pain.
I mean, it'll burn. It feels like it burns. It smells like burning hair, and then it feels like it burns a layer of your skin off.
I don't think I've ever smelled anything worse in my life.
Yeah, Nair is – and it lingers. Like, you could also Nair your mustache, but I wouldn't recommend it because I've done it before, and you get that burn.
I wouldn't put that lotion on your face because it burns your skin.
Yeah.
That's what it's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't do it. Like Mom said, don't wax. Like, get that shit threaded. And never, oh my God, never, ever, anyone, please, as a mustache lady, I can say this, please never shave it. No. Because I have done that before when I was younger. And not only will you get, like, a 5 o'clock shadow, but, like, people are – It's going to be terrible. Like, people are going to be like, how'd you get that cut on your upper lip? And you're going to be like, oh, I shave like my dad.
I did see a YouTube video once of these three girls that shaved their entire faces. They're in a sorority in the South.
You have the
South.
Best YouTube finds.
Yeah, I know. And they were endorsing these things called Tinkle Razors. And you can buy them in a 3-pack. From China on Amazon, and they're like $1.99 for a pack, and they come and they're like, they look like little plastic sticks with a tiny razor on them. And I got them because it is actually an exfoliant on your cheeks if you just run, and this hair does not grow dark on your, it should not anyway,
right?
And it actually is, like, kind of nice. A lot of people get that blonde hair
or
on their face.
Tinkle
razors, so, yeah,
I want to try the Tinkle razor, but I have the same fear. That's actually irrational because your hair does not grow back coarser and darker. It just grows back. And when your hair is growing back, it looks different.
That's true.
Than when it's fully grown out. I mean, like, keep that in mind. This is going to be a lifelong thing. You're going to remove it and remove it again and again. But just if that's what you want, thread it up. Don't wax. Don't nair. Try a tinkle razor, I guess. But I wouldn't recommend it.
Can I also just say, like, as the producer of the show, I enjoyed that call because it kind of switched it up for us. We get a lot of relationship and friendship advice calls. Yeah. And it's nice, like, we have other experience to draw from in terms of, like,
and
our
lives.
And Moz
is very into beauty stuff and treatments. I've learned a lot.
I'm into treatments.
Through
and
just hanging out with Moz.
You know, I want you to know, if you feel uncomfortable asking your friends about something, just call me. I get it. There's a million things. A lot of these things you guys tell me, I can tell you're looking for a 57th opinion. So there's something that you're holding on to that's like, I just don't want to tell anyone that I've never worn a thong and I want to know what that feels like.
Or had sex without a condom or something.
Don't know where your G-spot is.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I like want that.
Call us with your G-spot concerns.
Yes.
All right. Next call.
Hey, Malls. So my dilemma, it's hard to explain. So my boyfriend and I are looking to move out together into like a small house. And so we went to a couple of like showings and we really like this one place. And so I was asking him about like how much, like asking about like the down payment, how we're going to split it. And then all of a sudden he told me that he doesn't have enough money to pay for like a down payment or like a security deposit, things like that. It's just renting, not buying a house. But so I like freaked out because like we've been planning this for a pretty long time and he makes more money than I do. But he told me he has like no savings and like $2,000 in his checking account. And it just, like, blew my mind because, like, he spends money like he has a lot of it. And it was not my business that he doesn't have any money. Like, okay, so, like, before that, it wasn't really my business. You know, I'm not going to, like, ask him how much money he has because, you know, I know he works and he makes more than me. And I'm comfortably living. I have savings. Moving out would not be a problem for me. But, like, to know that he doesn't have enough. Like, what if he loses his job? Like, he has no egg, nothing. Like, nothing to sit on. And it, like, really pissed me off. And it kind of, like, am I allowed to be mad about this? Like, I don't want to be a nag and, like, tell him, you need to start saving, you need to do this or that. But, like, it really bothers me that he knew that we were doing this, but he still was, like, spending all his money. And he's, like, living basically paycheck to paycheck. So, yeah, tell me what you think about that. I don't know, like, if you're going to tell me to break up with him. Yeah, it's probably what all my friends have said. But, like, we've been through a lot of things, so I feel like it's not, I don't know, like, is this a deal breaker? I don't even know because it really bothers me. But, like, I don't really know what to do. So, yeah. All right. Thanks.
Girl, are you fucking insane? Money is one of the fundamental things that matters in a relationship just in terms of respect. And I think that you don't have to be making a lot of money. I don't think that you always need to bring as much as your partner does. Sometimes there can be an inequality about that sort of thing in a relationship because there's equality in other areas. But for him not to communicate to you his financial situation, knowing that you guys have been working toward the goal of moving in with one another is incredibly disrespectful. You are absolutely right. If he loses his job, you're shit out of luck. That means that you are picking up his half of the rent. It sounds like you said he doesn't have a backup plan. I'm assuming that means that he's not even in a situation where he has like rich ass parents he can borrow money from. But I also have to say, if you don't know any of this, you are too young to be moving in with somebody. That it is a big deal to move in with a person. And people are, you know, look, you went straight to, am I going to be a nag? Is this like, does this make me a shitty girlfriend if I hold him accountable for his fucking reckless behavior? Yeah. Yeah. No, you can't do that to yourself. That means like if you are going to that automatically, if that is a thought in your head that it is overreacting to care about the fact that he misled you about your future and your potential living situation, that is in the next stage of your life and together as a couple, that's a really, really, really big problem. And no, saying that you feel like that was handled poorly on his part and is an issue that he should have communicated to you in a host of different ways is, I mean, if you guys, how are you guys going out together and like he's spending money and you see what he's buying and you're doing this stuff and you don't say to him, like, babe, like, you know, I'm saving up money for the apartment. Like, where are you at with that? Like, to not even have a dialogue in your relationship where you can ask a question like that without being called a nag. The fact that you can go there is just you're too young. You're not thinking right.
And why? What is he spending his money on, girl? Like, is he spending it on you? Is he spending
guys
it?
Spend all their fucking money on food. Like, all of their money
so
goes to
food. It's so crazy that you didn't know that he was, like, broke in the bank account but, like, rich in the streets. Like, that's bizarre to me.
It is weird. Like, I mean, here's the thing. Have you been taking the vacations from him? Have you been taking – like, are you a part of this overspending? Are you an active participant?
Are you, like, let's order Thai every night? Like,
yes,
what?
Exactly. Like, have you ever wondered to yourself and then not said anything?
Right.
Because that's a big problem.
You can't just have this. And you're not going to be roommates with separate finances. You're a couple moving in together. Like, you're merging. This is, like, a half marriage. This is, like, training marriage.
Yeah.
I wonder if there are other issues going on because she mentions that her friends are telling her to break up with him. And I can't imagine friends stepping in like that if it's just a finance issue.
It sounds like you want to – I mean, you brought up breaking up with him.
Well, she sounds like the underdog in this relationship. Yeah. She sounds like she's in the down position because it sounds like – I mean, she seems to be pretty intent on the fact that they are going – to be together and she's really fighting for that despite the fact that she has been disrespected and is even going as far as to say maybe this is my problem.
Right.
No.
Do you do that with everything, you know? Like, are you in this relationship being like, oh, maybe that's my problem?
And I understand something. I understand being open to the possibility that your way isn't always right. Yeah. You should be open to that possibility all the time. But in this situation, this is a fundamental thing. That's if he showed up to a dinner that everyone was paying $250 a head and then said, oh, guys, I'm going to have my plate come, but I just FYI, like, I may or may not have $250 at the end of tonight. Like, that's – you just don't do
why
that.
Why was he seeing a part – I mean, to me, it's just insulting. He went to see a house with you and then was like, oh, wait, we need money for this house? Like, I don't really have that. Can you get
it? He knew full well that it was he was responsible for half of the expenses of a house. And if this has been going on for a while – I don't know how much your boyfriend makes a month. I actually don't sound like $2,000. I don't think $2,000 is a laughable amount of money.
Right. Yeah. When I heard that, I was like, oh, so your boyfriend's rich.
Oh, so so your boyfriend's doing pretty well, is what you're saying.
Oh, so he makes over $34,000 a year? That sounds – he's rich.
Yes.
That's dope.
So
dope that you're dating a rich guy like that. Seriously.
Yeah. So just – I mean, I don't think it's irreparable, like the situation you're in, but I really would address the basic respect issue because he doesn't respect you. If he's pulling this, if he thought he could go this far, unless he's terrified of you, which is a problem in and of itself, there's no reason why he shouldn't have discussed this with you.
Yeah, there's some other dynamic where he feels like he's hiding stuff from you for a reason or he's just really bad with money. Like, there's something that you have to. There's a dynamic in the relationship you like have to address. It's not going to be uptight if you bring it up. It's going to be like crazy if you don't bring it up and then move in with him.
People who are selfish with money are unattractive.
Yep.
It's just not an attractive quality. It's not attractive to see someone be really cheap and it's not attractive to see someone be like young money. Like Yeah, I mean,
if he's just living wildly beyond his means, that's like a fuckboy sort of like poser move.
Right. It's like immature.
Is he just having a lavish lifestyle and then like no savings? Like having a savings account is lavish, dude.
Right.
Like when I have my savings account, I'm going to feel like a baller. I don't have a savings account.
But if she has savings and
you guys are on uneven grounds, you know, you have to even it out and have the same expectations. Otherwise, that's bad news.
Yeah. It just also like in marriage, I mean, dealing with someone who has money issues like this, that would be a fucking nightmare.
It's like dealing with an addict sometimes. If you have someone who's like addicted to spending or like really bad about a certain area in their life, and you don't want to be his caretaker. You don't want to be his accountant.
I bet he'll grow up a little bit.
Yeah.
I do believe that. I think that he'll probably grow up. I mean, at some point, everybody has to figure out. I think everyone, when I know that when I was younger, I had to learn that, like, saving's important.
Yeah.
And now I save a lot better. But I had to, like, blow through a lot of money before I realized, like, oh, like, this isn't as chic as it feels.
Right.
Like, you know, this is actually kind of scary when you think about it. So, and it's not great to just get everything you want like that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck without realizing that that's exactly what they're doing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's really as simple as, honestly, you guys, I'm telling you, guys, I know, spend so much money on food. Like, I'm saying minimum $30 a day. Like, $12 sandwich for lunch, $20 dinner, like every water is bottled, every, like, you know, every beverage is coming is at least $3, and there's several
snacks.
Beverages, there's alcohol. It's just a lot. I know so many guys I know just spend all their money on food.
It's definitely sort of like a man-child thing too when you're like spending all your money on like taking care of yourself without actually taking care of yourself.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Like, it's like, oh, I'll get delivery. Like, oh, I'll buy weed.
That's a really good, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. So don't, I mean, you don't want to be the mom manager of that. And by not bringing it up, that's, you're setting yourself up for that. So you have to talk about it.
And you are responsible. Like, don't you want a guy that's like on that level?
Right.
I mean, you want someone that has a life you can aspire to. Like, you want to be like, you want to lift someone up and to be lifted up by them. And it doesn't seem like this guy can do that for you.
Yeah.
So think about all that. Okay, that's it for episode 48 of Please Advise. Chrissy, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Christina,
glad to
thank you.
Talk. Be sober for an hour.
B, thanks.
Kisses.
Does anyone have a free advice?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I had one too, but go ahead. Go.
You guys can both do a free advice. How about that?
A little Christina Chrissy free advice action.
Well, Chrissy, I doubt we're going to have the same free advice unless you went to the Sound of Music sing-along at the Hollywood Bowl yesterday.
That's something I did not do. That is something I did not do. But what I did do was last night I went out with my friends who all happened to be dudes. And we were just at the bar, like, chilling. And I noticed something, and it was that every time, like, a dude would look at me, like, in a way of being like, oh, hey, what's up? He would look at the dudes I was with and be like, fuck, and just beeline away. And I felt it happen multiple times. And I don't get what that is. And maybe you guys can, like, is it...
They think you're with the guys.
All of them, though? All four of them? Like, do I have to go to...
At least one of them. They think that you're one of their girlfriends.
But then when I was with my girlfriends, like, an hour or so before that, I was with two girls. And every guy at the party, it was like we were seals bleeding and they were sharks just swarming.
Because you were with girls.
Right, and that's normal. But I just want people to man up. Like, and just not, like, don't prey.
Hold on.
Well, you don't want to go hit on someone's girlfriend.
Right.
Okay, I get it.
Chrissy, if you saw a dude with, like, a bunch of girls, you would either think, A, that he was gay, or that, B, that he was one of their boyfriends.
I guess my free advice is just to, like, take stabs in the dark.
Is there anything more terrifying than walking up to a person who's surrounded by your gender or people that are of your sexual persuasion, from what you can tell?
That's a good do you fear that, actually. Like, groups of the same gender with the opposite gender.
And also, I've heard a lot of guys, I know I don't like to walk up to packs of guys either, because when guys are together, they're fucking assholes a lot of times. Like, there's a lot of guys that when they get together.
I guess this is free advice for me.
They're fucking assholes.
Is to stop going out in packs of dudes.
And girls in a pack are scary as hell too. I wouldn't
really
want to walk up to, yes, people in packs are scary as fuck.
I give a lot of props to guys because it takes a lot of guts to walk up to, like, a group of women and,
well, I think when you're with
your,
like, you're with your squad and they're with theirs, it's easier.
No, but
to
I mean,
merge.
Like, you've had, you've never been experienced, like, where you've gone out with a
you're
group 12 of girls
years
and,
old.
Like, one.
What is wrong with her? You're 12 years old. This is not an adult situation you're speaking about.
I don't
this
have like adult situations to speak about.
What do you mean with your squad?
Like, that's your group of people.
No, I know what a squad is, but I'm saying, like, who? And Christina, when was the last time you went out
you
with a squad?
Yeah. Last night. A squad can be three people. You can have a two-person squad.
Christina's squad rolls up to the Sound of Music musical.
Christina's squad. Christine's a one-woman squad. She doesn't have squad goals.
She wasn't there alone.
I wasn't there alone. That would be so sad.
I wasn't saying that. I was just saying that
singing alone. In a sing-along. Sorry. Christina, how bad does your life suck? Because you know there were people there that went alone last night to a sing-along.
They were probably dressed up in costume. There was a lot of costumes
there. That's the thing that scares me is going to events alone.
Yeah. Oh, I guess so.
Like a concert.
You would walk up to a guy that was surrounded by four girls.
No, now that I'm thinking about it more, I understand. I think it was just that there was a really hot dude and I wanted him to approach us and he didn't.
Think about things more, Chrissy.
Well, you know, this is what this is for.
Also, you probably have like 1 or 2 years of your life left where that scenario is going to be relevant to you. Because once you get into your late 20s, you're just kind of like, oh, hey. Like, it is like there's like literally nothing scary about flirting or dating once you hit 27.
I would love for that to be my life right now, but I'm terrified on Tinder over here. And
terrified on Tinder.
Terrified on Tinder. Sleepless in Seattle. That's a good, yeah, that's my pitch for my movie, is Terrified on Tinder. It's like Sleepless in Seattle, except for you're just trying to avoid dick pics.
All right, cool. Christina?
Yes. So as it was mentioned several times, I went to the Sound of Music sing-along at the Hollywood Bowl, which they have every year. It was actually the first time I've ever seen the Sound of Music. So that
just gave me chills for some reason. I full-blown got chills. Like, not in an interesting way. Just it gave me chills. I don't know why.
So the thing about the Hollywood Bowl, for people who don't live in L.A., it's just a massive outdoor theater space. And you can bring wine. You can bring your own wine. They let you bring alcohol or whatever. And so there were quite a few people, including myself, who were enjoying wine. And a row across and down from me, there were these four girls who were probably in their early to mid-20s.
Best age group.
They were really, really pretty wasted.
The worst age group.
They were being really loud and rowdy. And they left shortly after the intermission when the wedding scene happens. And it was because one of the girls was vomiting into a Ziploc bag.
A clear Ziploc?
Yeah, it was a clear Ziploc. It smelled horrible.
I did that once in Mexico.
That seems like in the public, place to do it.
Like she was she was in her row at her seat, like vomiting into the bag.
Yep, between Mr. Thurston and a 14-year-old girl from Canada. I did that. Driving to see the Dolphins. Yeah. Anyway, keep going.
Well, so anyway, they ended up having to leave. And the woman, the poor girl, could barely walk on her own, and you know her friends had to take care of her. But I mean, the thing that really was just kind of like grinding on my gears about this was the kids are there. You know what I mean? Like this isn't the Sound of Music sing along is not an event that you get wasted at.
Yeah, that's not your turn up. Like let's pregame. What kind of fucking losers pregamed the Sound of Music?
Well, Playboy Jazz. Once I did Molly at a Peter Gabriel concert, and I was.
But that's different. That's like a psychedelic rock concert.
No, actually, it's very much not. So I went to see Peter Gabriel, and it was ruined for me because my friend got way too drunk, and it was really crazy. And so I felt like I really needed to go back to Peter Gabriel. I bought really expensive tickets next time he came around. What I did not realize was that he was with the LA Philharmonic, and it was largely orchestral throughout the night. And it was pretty inappropriate, I would say, for me to be on Molly at this concert. Everyone was very much seated. Ed and I kept just talking, and people were turning around and shushing us like, I don't know, like we raped their mom. Like it was crazy.
Oh, so you were those people that
But I've also had those people. I've had those people at Dolly that killed me when there was wasted girls behind me at Dolly Parton's like screaming.
Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if you know you're going to be at an event where you know there's going to be children, just behave appropriately. Like you shouldn't be getting turned up at a Sound of Music sing-along.
Just like in general, you have to reach a point in your life, I think, that I've noticed in myself and my friends where
they
like
broke a wine bottle at some point.
Yeah, not everything requires getting fucked up for it.
But here's the thing. I honestly do see there's being something to being a group of people. It's like one of the first weekends of summer. It was really beautiful last night. They probably ironically got these tickets.
They just graduated.
Their boss gave it to them or like something.
Oh, no. I didn't go with the intention of like being a really good fan of The Sound of Music. Like I'd never seen the film before and I brought two bottles of wine with me and I was drinking and kind of like making small snarky comments with my friends that I went with.
And I feel
But like you have to adjust the level to what the room is.
To not vomit in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Ugh. But there's always someone that gets too hype. And I think that we've all been the person once or twice in our life that gets a little too hype. And in retrospect, it's like, oh, God. I mean, I don't think those girls woke up today proud of themselves.
Listen. Listen, I'm not saying that I've never been like publicly drunk before and been really embarrassed. But I mean, like, I think they really it was just poor judgment on their part to do it there. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to get crazy, do it at a bar.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's something really fun, though.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being a Debbie
Getting
Downer.
Drunk in places you, like, shouldn't be drunk. Or, like, being kind of fucked up at, like, the movie theater or something.
I'm totally going to go to Magic Mike on Tuesday and, like, be
Does
drunk.
That come out Tuesday?
Yeah, you can get tickets. It comes out July 1st, but, yeah.
I'm Look, so down.
But that's the appropriate venue to do something like that.
Yeah. I'm going to say, am I going to say I like it? I like being around it? No. Do I understand it? And therefore, I'm like, all right, kids.
Masturbating on the train?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Exactly. It's like masturbating on a train. It's like, I'm not going to do it today.
Sometimes you want to throw up in a bag.
But I've masturbated on a train before.
Sometimes you want to jerk off on the subway.
Well, I don't know. I just didn't. Yeah.
And the bowl has crazy acoustics. Like, you can hear someone in the way, way back getting fucked up.
Right. I mean, I don't know. It's the kids thing really bothered me. I don't know.
I mean, rest assured, the kids were not bothered.
And also,
by
I hate
it,
vomiting.
If not thrilled and delighted.
Yeah. I hate vomiting. So that was also.
I swear in front of kids. I don't care. They know that word. They do. I mean, like, here's the thing is that I don't excessively swear in front of children ever. Of course not. But if F-bomb slips out and there's a 4-year-old next to me at Coffee Bean playing with a plastic kite, then I...
Why would someone have a kite in Coffee
Kids
Bean?
Always are holding weird shit.
In Moss's world,
haven't you
every
ever
child
seen a kid
is
in
holding
public?
A kite.
No, I'm just saying if you've ever seen a kid in public, they're always holding weird shit.
That's true.
Like a plastic kite came to mind. By the way, I saw a homeless man doing the most incredible space work I've ever seen at Coffee Bean this week. He was, unfortunately, he was mentally ill, but he was scolding his two invisible children, and they were very specific heights, and his space work was incredible. Like, I'm just telling you, like, I believed two invisible children were right there. It was
take that down to UCB, sir.
And you don't normally get that close to the action. Like, where I was, it was, you can't, I said to my friend after, I said, this is the way that we got close to that is normally you just don't get that close to seeing something that truly special without getting involved in it. Normally they'll rope you in and make you a part of the world.
But he was just doing a show.
No, he didn't even know we were there. I said we were like, you know, we were invisible.
The world is a magical
place. We were invisible as his children.
Well,
okay.
The Sound of Music is ruined for me now because now all I can think about is someone vomiting into a Ziploc bag.
Sounds like a personal problem.
All right, you guys, you can send us your updates or call us at 323-450-7408. You can email us at askpleaseadvise@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at @please_advise. We're on SoundCloud and iTunes. Please leave us a 5-star comment and a wonderful review. And we'll read it on the show as part of our new segment, You're Appreciated. Christina's going to give me our comment for this week now. Okay, this week's comment of the week is from listener. It's crack like 5 stars. Thanks so much. Okay, here is your review. Don't let your ears deceive you. After listening for 2 minutes, you might think that Miss Maglier's distinctive drawl denotes a feather-headed party girl, but after a single episode, you'll discover a charming and intelligent individual whose advice is always from the heart and wonderfully articulated. What once might have annoyed you will likely be honey dripping in your ears. And if you're lucky enough to hear her sing, you'll be in for a treat in no time. You'll be addicted and feel like your best friends with Malls. Hear me sing. What? Listener, you're fucking nuts. You're great. Thanks so much. That was very sweet. Very astute comment.
I like that the comment under it is by someone named Poops McGee.
Gross. Never cool. getting read because I don't say that word. All right, you guys. Have a great week, and I'll see you out in the universe. Bye.